This morning, I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11.
Next week, we will step back into the book of James and James chapter 5, and we'll eventually finish that. Eventually. But I want to preach a message to you. I always love the first Sunday in January. I try to preach something that I think is, I hate to use the word visionary or where I see us going, how the Lord is directing us as a church. And I think that this is pertinent for us. Nearly 2 years of COVID has produced devastating effects. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. An unsustainable strain on our medical system and its workers. Further political division. Economic loss. There's been such a great strain over the last nearly 2 years of stress and uncertainty. And one of the kind of the unknown things that has come about from this is it has caused or aggravated mental and emotional distress or even illness. Over the last month or so, I've been studying. Record numbers of people are seeking counseling, trying to find somebody who can help them. People who have never sought counseling before, people who never thought they would ever go to a therapist or a counselor, a licensed professional counselor, are going. But counselors across our nation are reporting that for every person that they have counseled, there have been 10 or more that they've had to turn away, because they simply do not have time to give advice or counsel, help to these people who are hurting. And indeed, people are hurting, distressed, exhausted, hopeless, frustrated, burned out. People around you, people in your own home, perhaps the person who lives in your own skin, has a sense of despair. People are looking for help. People are looking for answers. If I could draw it down to one word, I think people are looking for rest. People just want to find some rest. And this is not the kind of rest that any vacation. How many of you know when you go on vacation, you need a vacation from your vacation? Right? This is not the kind of rest that can be found in the Colorado Rockies or the beach in Florida. That's not that kind of rest. It can't fix that kind of thing. No amount of time away or time off from your job can heal the kind of unrest that's happening in massive numbers of people. Started long before COVID hit. COVID has just exposed it and exacerbated it. This is a massive opportunity for the church. Now, I understand very well that some people need clinical help, sometimes medication. I understand that. But most, let me qualify that, but all people need rest for their soul. That the mental health industry, frankly, can't fix. It can't provide. Perhaps you need this kind of rest, this kind of tranquility for the soul, a hope for your heart, a quieting, a calming of the spirit. Or maybe you know someone who does. We live in a vast community of people who need that. People who are looking for help, who are looking for answers, who are looking for rest. When I was in the Army trained me with, literally with hundreds of thousands of dollars of training in counseling techniques and programs to help soldiers who experienced the highest imaginable stress. And nothing worked. I mean, I did all kinds of personality tests and all kinds of couples counseling and all you name it. Financial Peace University, all over the place. We did all of that. Multitudes of programs. And I only found one solution. Only Christ. Only Christ helps people to find this kind of rest, this kind of solitude, this kind of peace. There was, and by the way, that's not pastor's talk, okay? I'm speaking pragmatically about what actually worked. No amount of self-discovery or meditation or medication or self-expression or an inner examination or self-actualization, no counseling techniques ever made any lasting impact upon the restless, hopeless, stressed soul. Only Christ. So two things that I really want to try to achieve with this sermon this morning. First of all, I want to help point those of you who are hurting, who are have desperate hearts, I want to point you towards the Prince of Peace this morning. Because I truly believe this. It's not a preaching point. It's not a bullet point I have in my notes. That Jesus is really the only answer to the restless, hurting heart. But the second thing I want to do alongside that is I want to challenge you Christians. I want to challenge Christians to engage in the world with your family, with your friends, with coworkers, with children, with neighbors. I want to challenge you to engage people with the soul-delighting rest of the Good Shepherd. I'm not asking you to be a counselor, but you have a counselor. I'm not asking you to be the counselor, but the counselor resides within you if you are a Christ follower. And this is what we Christians, what the church are called to do in a hurting world, is to bring the soul-satisfying, soul rest of Christ to people, to desperate people. This is Jesus' call to us. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, we hear Jesus pray to the Father, and then we hear a plea that he gives, an invitation, a call to the people. In Matthew 11, 25, he says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding. I think he's praying specifically about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious elite who thought they had it all together. If they just did X, Y, and Z, that they'd be good to go. Jesus is praying and says, I'm thankful, God, that you hid it from those goofballs. Now, that's my translation. From the wise and the understanding, and you've revealed them instead to little children. Yes, Father, for such was handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he stops the prayer. It's as though Jesus stops the prayer and he says this. These monumental words, massive words. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do you find rest for your soul? How do you help somebody else find rest in the midst of all the chaos that's happening, that is either bubbled up or still like a volcano about to explode from underneath the surface? How do you find rest for the soul? I want you to look with me in this passage just very briefly. First of all, I want you to see Christ's call to salvation is a call to rest. Hear that again. Christ's call to be saved, to salvation, is a call to rest. Isn't that good news today? Listen, if you're saved, your salvation is God's way of saying rest. It's God's way of saying chill out. Take a deep breath, exhale, rest. Listen to what he says to me. This is such powerful, simple, straightforward words. Jesus just says, come to me. Come to me. What a powerful call for us to come to Christ. What does that mean for us to come to Christ? Because if you're like I am right now, and I've learned in preaching that you have to get down to literal, because there are some kids here. Jesus says, come to me. They know that Jesus is up there. He's in heaven. Jesus is not literally saying, if you want rest, come to me now. That's the perfect rest. That is the final rest, the all-encompassing rest. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. So what does he mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, come to me and you will find rest for your soul? Turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, because I think that we have a parallel passage that shows us what it means to come to Jesus. The simple, straightforward, powerful call. John chapter 6 and verse 35. I want you to see this parallel meaning here. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, I am the bread of life. I'm the food that your soul needs to truly live. I'm the sustenance for your existence, so that you don't just kind of sleepwalk through this life, but that you really have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now look at this. And I want you to circle, underline, highlight, parenthesis, whatever you do in your Bible or on your phone, whatever it is that you do. Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So you need to underline or highlight, circle the word comes to me and believes in me. You see, that's what Jesus is saying straight to his disciples. What it means to come to Jesus is to believe in him, to trust in him, to put your faith in him, to place your life in the care of Christ. When Jesus here in Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me and I will give you rest, he's saying, believe in me, trust in me, put your faith in me, come and be saved. Faith. Put your faith in me. And the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about here is faith that can rescue you from guilt. Faith that rescues you from condemnation. Believing in Christ that delivers us from the shame of our sin. Trusting that he can give rest to your burdened soul. I love these words, come to me. This is what the church needs to be doing to the world. We need to stop, I don't want to say stop saying to people, come to church. We want people to come to church because they're going to hear the gospel. You know what's more important than saying come to church to your friends, your family, your coworkers, the people that you meet in the community? What's more important than saying come to church is come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Put your faith in Christ. Put your belief, your hope, your desire for peace and tranquility and rest for your soul. Put that in Jesus, not in a political cause or regime or ideology, not in some kind of do-for-yourself religion. He says, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. By the way, he's not saying come to a location. This is not come forward after the end of the service. This is not raise your hand or sign a card. This is talking about what happens inside your heart, inside of your mind. That place where it's not just saying, well, I believe that Jesus is, but it's saying, I trust that Jesus really loves me. That grace is real, that mercy is substantial, that God has something for me that will refresh me and give me life. And because I know that Jesus has that, I want to come to Jesus. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the sustainer of life. Jesus is the bread of life. I must come to Jesus. Right where you are. Right now, Jesus says, come, come now. He's not just saying, get up and walk. In fact, if I can put it again in my vernacular, I think what Jesus is saying is, sprint, brother, run, drop everything, run as fast as you can, lay aside every burden of sin that so easily entangles us, and come to Jesus. See, when I started this sermon, some of you thought that I was going to give some kind of real deep kind of counseling, psychological, 7 steps to a better you in 2022. Can I tell you, I've tried all of that. I've tried resolutions. I've tried helping homework for people and counseling. It's really tough. And of course, there are people who have very serious issue. They need clinical psychology. But let me tell you, what people really need is Jesus. They need to come to Christ. And coming to Christ doesn't make everything better. It doesn't make everything go away. But I tell you what it does do. It gives you peace. It gives you rest for your soul. It gives you hope for tomorrow. Come to me, he says. Come to me, he says. He didn't say, come to the pastor. Jesus didn't say, hey, come to Peter. He wouldn't have said that anyway. He didn't say, come to one of the disciples. He says, come to me, not to religion, not to principles or techniques. Again, he doesn't even say, come to church. No, he doesn't even say, come to another Bible study. All those things are good. He doesn't say to come to a counselor. All of those will fail us, but Christ will never fail. He says, come to me. And who is it that he invites? Look what he says, come to me, all. All. Everyone. Everyone who's worn out. He says, all who are labor and are heavy laden. All who are weary of life. All who are stressed out. All who are burned out. All who are burdened with carrying the weight of their sin. Because the Bible says, all have sinned. And all have fallen short of the glory of God. It's to those all that Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. All of us who are weary of life. Anybody weary? You're so weary you can't even answer. You're just tired. All who are weary. All who are weighed down with conviction of soul. All of us who are beat up and cast out. Listen again to the words in John chapter 6. I read this verse to you a minute ago, verse 35. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But listen what he says in verse 37. all that the Father gives to me will come to me. Oh, listen to these great words. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That's the great thing about coming to Jesus, is when you come to Jesus, you don't have to be in fear about, well, what is he going to say when he sees X about me? Because I know that Jesus can see in my heart. Jesus can see what I think. Jesus knows what I've done. What's Jesus going to think when I come to him? He says, for all who will come, I will never in any way will I ever cast them out. That's why the Bible says that Jesus, check this out, is the friend of who? Christians? Of sinners. He's the friend of sinners. Oh, what we need more than anything to find rest for the soul is to come to Christ. All who are loaded with sin, loaded with sorrow, loaded with anxiety, loaded down with shame, loaded with remorse, we need to come to Christ. People need Jesus. Church, I want you to hear this. You think you may be thinking, well, this message is for them. No, it's for you. People need Jesus. They need Christ more than they need a vaccine. I'm not saying they don't need a vaccine either, okay? I'm going to get an email tomorrow. People need Jesus more than they need a stimulus check. To be rescued from our greatest burden of being separated by sin and separated from God, we need it more than counseling, more than therapy. Jesus said, come. Because when we come, he promises he will give you rest. Salvation is a call to rest. While you're still in the book of John, hopefully you kept your finger there in John 6. Turn over to John 16. You'll remember these words. Jesus says it, John 16, 33. I have said these things to you. I'll slow down so you can get there. John 16, 33. I got two words I want you to underline again. Listen to what he says. I have said these things to you that, and here it is, in me, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Do you see my big old smile right now? That's just incredible. He said, I have said these things to you. What things? The things in this book, the things that are in this word, the things that God has given to us. That's why we want to teach you to read the Bible constantly. Why? Because Jesus said, in these things, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Anybody got any tribulation? Anybody got some tribulation? In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What your home needs, what this church needs, what our community needs, what our schools need, what our politicians need, what every little aspect of life in the world needs today is to come to Christ. To come to Christ. You see, when we just alone tell people just to come to church, you know what happens? They get burdened down with legalism. So they think it's something that they have to do. I got to do this, do this, do this, do this. No, what you need is salvation. Christian, your friend, your spouse, your child, your coworker, they need Jesus. Yes! Bring them to church, but learn how to bring them to Jesus. Don't say, well, I don't know how to do it. Learn! Learn how to bring them to Christ. Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. I don't have time to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. When's it ever stop me? I'm going to read a couple of passages. Isaiah 55, 1. Listen to this. Isaiah 55, 1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, You say, I don't have anything to offer to Jesus. It doesn't matter. He says, come, come anyway. He who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine or grape juice. And some of you get that. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You have nothing in your hands when you come to Christ, accept your sin. Jesus says, come. Come on. Did you know that the Bible ends this way as well? Did you know that? Revelation chapter 22. Listen to what verse 17 says. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Ah, oh, so incredible. Jesus gives us that rest. Christ's call to salvation is a call to rest. Well, I got two more points I got to preach. Not only is Christ's call to salvation a call to rest, but Christ's call to submission or surrender is a call to rest. Look again back in Matthew chapter 11 in this incredible passage that Jesus has given us, thinking of this place where we need rest for our souls in the midst of the chaos of the world. Not only is Christ called to salvation a call to rest, but Christ's call to submission or us surrendering our lives to Him is a call to rest. Do you see what He says? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And He says this, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Now, for any of you who knows what a yoke is, this does not sound like rest for the soul, right? You know what a yoke is, right? You've seen it before. You know, back in the olden days, for some of you, that was back in the day, right? I'm not pointing at anybody. You know what a yoke is. It's this wooden piece that's laid across the neck of an animal, a large animal like an ox. It served as a harness or almost like a collar in order that the animal could be led by the master with the reins, and that in turn the animal's strength and power could pull something. It could pull a wagon full of goods, or it could pull a plow. It was this collar, this yoke was laid on the animal in order that the master could easily give the animal guidance and direction, could give it commands so that it would do its work. Usually a yoke was fit for at least two animals. And I want you to see this picture, because it's beautiful of what Christ has done for us. When a master would yoke two of his animals, he would also always be very careful on one side to yoke an experienced, strong animal that has done this before, that knows the commands of the master. And on the other side, he would yoke an animal that was a little less experienced, a little less strong, maybe a rookie who hadn't done this before, who's going to be yoked next to the veteran, so that when the master's giving the commands, the inexperienced one, the weaker animal, can be pulled along by the stronger animal, by the one who has been there and done that and has the t-shirt and is ready to get after it and go again and again. This is what was happening when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And often this yoke would be very, very heavy that was laid upon these animals. This is why the Jews often spoke of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the law of the Bible. They would call it the yoke of the Torah because it was being laid upon the shoulders of the people. Remember how many laws they had? 613 laws that they were supposed to keep in order to be in a right relationship with God. So they called it the yoke of the Torah being laid upon them. It was the misinterpretation, the alteration of God's word, and it just became crushing legalism on the people and upon their shoulders. They could barely live their lives while they were all along trying to fulfill the law. That's why Jesus here says these people are burdened. They labor, they're heavy laden with trying harder, with exhausting effort that they're trying to make themselves right in this life with God. And here Jesus says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. It's easy and my burden is light. If you turn just a few pages over in Matthew chapter 23, I just find this fascinating. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe what they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders. Do you see the picture of the yoke? But they themselves are not willing to move their finger. So the law became this legalistic yoke that was placed on people's shoulders. It's where we get the term stiff-necked. Y'all understand that term? He's a stiff-necked old coot. It comes from that idea of the legalism being laid on our shoulders and just bearing up underneath it, gritting our teeth until we just become angry and bitter all the time. I want you to see this. Jesus says, take my yoke. And then at the end of that, in verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus saying when he says, take my yoke? Jesus is not saying, here, I'm taking my yoke off of me and I'm putting it on you. Jesus is saying, I'm the strong animal. I'm the experienced. Get in the yoke with me. I'll show you, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, but I'm going to do the work for you. He tells us to get in the yoke with Jesus. Jesus is no slave master. He's pulling for you. We only submit and we walk with him. He teaches you the commands of the Father. He shows you the direction as they're being given. And it's not hard. Not like the burden and the labor that we have when we try to do this ourselves. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. It's easy and it's light. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, his commandments are not burdensome. To the one who's come to him, to the one who is saved, it's not difficult. We do it with delight. We do it with joy. Why? Because we're grateful for the salvation that we have. And so we see Jesus in the yoke and we say, I want to be next to him. I want to get in this with him. He's going to do all the work. He's going to pull the weight. He's the one that's doing this for me. And so we rest in the grace of Christ. It's easy. It's light. It's delightful. Yes. The Bible says in Luke 9:23, you know, I probably quoted that verse more than any other verse I've ever quoted in this church. Any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Yes, you take up your cross. Yet Christ bore our cross. Christ bore your cross and your sin, and he walked all the way to Calvary. We sang the song just a few minutes ago, and the verse says, behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Do you see the picture of the yoke again? When Jesus is carrying his cross up to Calvary, he's bearing the yoke for us. What does Jesus ask of us to rest? Simply this, that we submit, that we surrender our lives to him, that we say, I'll no longer go my direction, Lord. I want to get in the yoke with me. You go, I'll follow. I want to attach myself to you, Lord. And when you do, the Bible says this. Jesus says, take my yoke and you will find rest. Yoke doesn't sound like something we rest in. But when we yoke ourselves to Christ, you will find a rest, a peace that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. Well, let me finish quickly this morning by asking you this. Have you submitted your life to Christ? Friend, when you're speaking to someone else, when you're, as a Christian, when you're talking to someone else, when you're sharing, when you're caring and concerned with someone else, I think it's okay for us sometimes to ask people, are you willing to submit your life to Christ? Because that's where the real rest is. That's where the peace, that's where solace and solitude and hope. When we take the yoke of Christ upon our shoulders, the weight of the world is lifted off. Some of you remember this, right? Do you? Hopefully, maybe you still remember this. You remember when you received Christ by faith? For some of you, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When you received Christ by faith, you remember that when you confessed your sin and that you asked Christ to forgive you, almost instantly it was like, whoosh, just like the sound effect. It's just lifted right off of you, and you felt like the weight of the world was lifted off your shoulders. Listen, that's what Christ said. That's how Christ says that we find rest, is we take on the yoke of Christ, but you're not bearing it. Christ has already bore the yoke of sin. That's what the Bible says, right? It says not only did Christ take on our sin, it says he became sin for us. And on the tree, he put sin to death that you might find rest. So Christ's call to salvation is a call to rest. Christ's call to submission is a call to rest. And then finally, stay with me on the words here. Christ's call to study is a call to rest. You know, as a Southern Baptist, I had to alliterate there. So Christ's call to study is a call to rest. Look what he says in verse 29 again, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And learn from me. The word learn there is the same root word for disciple, to be a disciple. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 28, 19, 20, the Great Commission, where he says, go and make disciples. That's the word that he uses here, learn from me. Learn from me. It's an imperative word. It's not an option. It's a command. It's a, you must do this. To find rest, become a student of Jesus. Let your life be an everlasting kind of semester of studying about Jesus, of finding out about Jesus, of being teachable, of always learning, always desiring to learn more and know more about Jesus, because he is inexhaustible, but he will remove your exhaustion. In John 13, 15, John tells us that Jesus said, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Or over in 1 Peter, which you remember we just studied this book, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this, For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. In other words, we are to look at Jesus, we are to study Jesus, and we are to emulate Jesus. We're to imitate Jesus, or the word that we use a lot is we're to follow. We're to follow Jesus. Why? Because that's where we get rest. So he says here in Matthew 11, do you see it? He says, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I know some of you are thinking, man, I don't want to study. I don't want to become a disciple. I don't want to be a learner. I just want to be a Christian so I can be saved and I can go to heaven. I want to tell you something. You know, I've said this before many, many times. There is no such thing as a Christian who's not a disciple. You're either following Jesus or you're not. And to be a disciple means to be a learner, someone who's constantly growing, continuously growing. Now, listen, Christianity is not a one-day conference. Yeah? It's a lifetime degree. You're always going to be studying, always going to be following after Jesus, because we're so thankful and grateful for what God has done for us. That's why we take up our cross. By the way, it's not just learning stuff. When he says, learn of me, he's not saying just pile up a bunch of information in your brain. He's saying, learn it in the sense of putting it in an experience, putting it to practice, allowing the way that you think and talk and act and interact and decisions and relationships, they would all be determined and transformed into the image of Jesus day by day by day by day. And look how Jesus is described. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Did you know there's the only place in the Bible that talks about the heart of God? I am gentle and lowly in heart. This just screams grace and mercy to me. And rest. Do you know why discipleship is the number one priority of this church, why I talk about discipleship more than I talk about anything, probably? Other than that it's commanded that you're to be a disciple and we're to make disciples, other than that, it's because of this. Disciples find rest. That's what he says. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Disciples find rest. Disciples gladly submit because we're in it with Jesus. This is why we want you to be discipled. I want you to catch this as we close right here. This is why we want you to be discipled, because disciples find rest and disciples help other people find the craving of their soul, the longing of their heart, the thing for which we were made, which is to have solace and solitude and peace, rest in God. That's what disciples do. And it's why it's imperative that you become a disciple. And that's what we do. We try to help people become disciples. We try to give you the practical things of what it means to be a disciple. Jesus said that he gave us these words so that in me you might have peace, right? So what are those words that we can find him and be in him? We teach you to read the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to pray the Bible. You know, the Philippians, Paul said it like this in John 4. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, this is something that a disciple learns how to do, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now listen to this. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do you think anybody needs peace in their heart and their mind? You know how it happens? By following Jesus, by becoming a disciple. Disciples find rest. Our world lives in turmoil. Our world is surrounded with unrest. In fact, it breeds it. The culture that we live in rewards it. And it kills people physically. And it sends them to hell as it stiffens their necks and it kills their soul. Everywhere you go, people are looking for help, and it must be you and me who point them to come to Christ for salvation, to submit to Him in lordship, to learn from Him and become a disciple. The church needs a new approach. I'm convinced of it. People are tired and lonely and depressed. I've heard it said many, many times that the church is a hospital. Can I just amend that a little bit? And I mean this figuratively, but I also think I mean it literally. The church doesn't need to, I mean, we need to be a hospital, but we need to be a counseling center to give them the words of life that they might learn how to follow Jesus, to come to Christ and find rest for their soul. The church must be a mobile counseling center that gives people guidance and rest for their souls as they heed the call to salvation, to come to Christ, the call to submission, to take upon the yoke of Christ, and the call to discipleship, to learn from Him. There is solace. There is tranquility to be found in this crazy world. There is peace. There is hope. There is rest. So this year, in 2022, I pray that you will rest in the Lord, and I pray that you will help others to rest in Christ as well. Let's pray together this morning. Some of you need that rest. Your heart and your mind are in turmoil continuously. And you've been looking for peace. You've tried all kinds of efforts, self-generated efforts on your part to make something new. Maybe it's been a resolution, a new job, a new family, whatever it is you think that, and you've never been able to escape it. There's this gnawing unrest in your heart and your soul. Can I just plead with you today to come to Christ? Come and find Jesus. Come be delivered from sin. Come and find eternal rest for your heart and mind. Only Jesus can do this. He is the Son of God. He is the sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And today He wants to make you new and transform your life. Some of you need to come to Christ. Some of you have pretended to be a Christian, a believer for a long time. You need to come to Christ. For some of you, you know that you need to surrender to Christ. You need to take upon the yoke of the Lord and walk with Him. Submit every area of your life to Him. And then some of you today, you need to commit this year to be a learner of Christ, to be a student of Christ. In just a few moments after Pastor Rich comes and does our benediction, I'm going to be standing out in this hallway. Our staff, our pastors, will be out in this hallway to my right, to your left. Rich is going to ask you to stand, and he's going to do a benediction. And when you stand, I'm asking you to slip out. I'm asking you to run out. I'm asking you to ask people to excuse you and get out of the row, get back to that back area and walk around the hall. And I would love to share with you today how you can come to Christ. It would be the most important thing that you could do at the beginning of 2022. Would you come to Christ? Father, thank you for your word. Help us to rest in you. Help us to take on the yoke of Christ. Help us to learn from you, for you are good and we love you. And we give you thanks today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Andy. Would you please stand? Our benediction for this Sunday comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All right, God bless. Have a great rest of the day.